Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
D4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of E4 2018. I'm Tommy, of course, Jamie sitting right there. What's up?
Yep, episode 2.
Episode 2. On this episode, we are going to cover EA, which was actually the very first conference that happened, Bethesda, and then talk about Square momentarily.
Now, we had the Microsoft show last night. It was really fast. It was the fastest Gaming Uncensored show in history.
Yeah.
In 13 years, we were talking so fast that I don't even really remember what we said. So this show is going to be a little slower. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. Some really bad stuff to talk about.
Right.
And, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. We have about an hour before the UB conference, and so we're gonna get in as much stuff here as we can. We do have lots to talk about because this is three press conferences, really two press conferences and Square. But the two press conferences, the EA press conference and the Bethesda, will give us quite a bit to talk about. So we're just going to jump right in. So EA showed up on Saturday because that's what they do now, and it's weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Neither one of us terribly impressed with the EA press conference. It's all right. You know, like it was just,
right.
There was a couple cool things. We saw Anthem, and so that was fun to see Anthem, but even that, they didn't show it off terribly well. So quickly, we'll kind of go point by point, and then there's a couple of things in here that'll demand a little bit more conversation. They started with Battlefield 5, showed a little bit, not a ton, talked about the multiplayer. It's going to be a big deal, obviously. Officially announced Battle Royale mode, which we knew was coming. It's Battlefield.
Yeah, you know? I mean there's not much else to say. It'll be good.
It'll be Battlefield, and so good for them on that. So I did officially say no loot boxes, no premium passes kind of stuff. That's a big theme this year at EA. You're going to hear that again here in just a second from EA as well. Loot boxes, the industry heard you. We hate loot boxes, and they said fair. And now, like, everybody is distancing themselves from loot boxes as fast as they possibly can. And so I think that's a good thing. I think that's the industry listening to consumers, which is awesome.
It is, but I'm not sure that it's really going to stick. I think the whole thing now, you said it correctly, they're running as far as fast as they can away, and there's some guy in the back whose only job is to figure out a more palatable way for them to take our money that they can get what they were trying to get with the loot boxes. So I think it's going to come back. I don't think it's something that's going to go away when the geek in the back figures out a really cool way to sell it to us in a way that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's at least partially fair. I don't think it'll be loot boxes, but it'll be something. They're going to figure out a different way to monetize games.
That's the thing. Right now, today, this is not about EA. I mean, this is not about something that they're doing. We used to talk a lot of trash on them. This is industry wide right now.
Yes.
Everybody's trying to figure out how to get as much money as possible comfortably from consumers.
Yes, absolutely, and they're at least somewhat within their right to do so. I won't say completely. They shouldn't be trying to screw over consumers, but that's a balance. Like you're always looking for where that sweet spot is, where consumers feel like they're getting value and the industry feels like it's making the money that they feel like they should be making. It is a business after all. And so we're capitalists. We understand that.
Right.
We like that. And so
we want money.
Absolutely. And so there's that balance. I think the good thing that's coming out of it is, and maybe even broader than loot boxes, especially on these multiplayer things, the idea of pay for advantage is at least getting a lot of pushback and going away in a lot of titles, which is good. That, like, if loot boxes contain gear that can make you better, somebody that either doesn't care about spending their money or has a lot of money to spend can get a competitive advantage in games.
Well, we just said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think this is a really serious discussion point. We just said we're capitalists, we like money. So what I've been debating in my head is somebody that has the money or is willing to spend the money, shouldn't they have the ability to do that? What I'm trying to figure out is what's the balance for right. somebody who wants to pay to get an advantage. I think that should be a thing because that's the country in which we live. But there needs to be a way for those of us that aren't going to spend that kind of money.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Video games is a stupid thing. In the context of this stupid thing that we talk about all the time, no, I don't think that because you have more money, you should be advantaged. In society, there's a lot of things that feel that way, too.
What I'm saying, though, is that that's whether you like it or not, That's kind of the way things are. It doesn't make it right.
But you're conflating kind of individual right. and community things. And on an individual level, like if you have more money, should you be able to have more stuff?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And that makes sense.
That's my thing right there.
But when you get into a community environment like a video game is, and again, this is a stupid kind of microcosm of maybe a bigger conversation on society or whatever, but I kind of like it. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
On a community level, no, I don't think that advantage should exist just because you have money in real life or whatever. There's nothing. Video games are a closed system. Like, you can make it whatever you want to make it. And so I think developers should make it where it doesn't matter, like in real life, if you're rich or not. Like, you can make parody happen in the game. It's like the NFL having a salary cap.
Right.
Like, your rich owners don't get to just spend all their money like they do in baseball. For the most part, there's luxury taxes and whatever else. Yeah. And all the sports are terrible about this. Like, none of them have quite figured out the answer. But the NFL's so great in part because of the parody that exists because of salary cap, because it's a system where having more resources doesn't just advantage you. And all of a sudden, we're seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars were good last year. Granted, it's taken them a long time to get there, but Jacksonville is not a rich city. They have a rich owner, but everybody has a rich owner.
Like, yeah.
You have to be rich to own an NFL team. Because there's limitations to that competitive nature. The NFL's always a lot more interesting no matter who you're a fan of. You know, like other sport, like basketball, I think, is the opposite end of that because the rosters are so small. If you can pay for the best two or three guys in the league, you're always going to have a good team. And that's why we see LeBron James in 9 straight finals or whatever. That's why we've seen the Cavs and the Warriors in the last whatever. Like, that's the inverse. If I'm a Memphis Grizzlies fan, which I am, like, that kind of sucks. You know, like, I just know my team's never going to be there.
Right.
Don't spend the money to get there or whatever. That was a weird way of getting about. I like the NFL model where they say you don't get a competitive advantage because you have more resources. I want that in video games as well. I don't want to spend money on loot boxes. I still want to be able to play these games and enjoy them. And more people are going to be in that seat than have the money to spend.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Well, I guess, because I'm in that boat too.
Sure.
Neither one of us have a lot of money. But I think there need, maybe it's, for me, maybe it's a time investment. You know, all of those guys that play PUBG for zillions and zillions of hours every month, I feel like those guys should have some advantage because they have spent that time. Versus me, who has been in there once.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, going back to my original point, I feel like a way to get advantage, whether it's money or something else, is okay to exist. I'm more comfortable with the time aspect of it. League of Legends is another example. There's a zillion people out there that spend a zillion hours in League of Legends. And if you do that, I feel like you should be rewarded.
Yes, I agree with that. Those are just, to me, those are two diametrically opposite points. You could be terrible at a game, but spend a lot of money on it and be good just by,
right,
or not spend any time in the game and just have all the toys,
right,
because you have money to spend on it. Like, if you are somebody who's dedicated to a game and playing that game over time acquires more gear and better gear that gives you a competitive advantage, as long as, and this is important too, there's a matchmaking system built into that game. So as you get a competitive advantage, you're placed against other people who have a similar competitive advantage, and you're not just owning noobs.
Right.
Because I'm the noob, and that's not fun to play in. That system to me works just fine. I just hate the idea that, like, if I've got a extra $100 to spend, like, all of a sudden I can be the master at whatever game.
Right.
Just because I'm putting money into it. It just seems to take the fun out of the games for me.
Well, and I agree, but unless you have the money, and then if you do, it's like, well, of course it's fun.
Go spend your money on something else. Yeah. Crying out loud. If you've got that kind of disposable income, like, do something more fun with your life than buy loot boxes and video games.
Go
maybe
eat.
That's your thing. Yeah.
Go eat like what we did last night, man. That was good.
Yeah, we did. We had some good burgers.
And you guys paid for that.
Queso fries, frozen margaritas. We had a good time.
Yes.
Thank you, Patreon.
We're at some point today, there's going to be more alcohol. I don't know how we're going to top those, but those were really good.
They were good. Yeah, so that was fun. So all that being said, other stuff in the EA press, we got FIFA. And I talked about FIFA for a while, and we don't care because we're American and not big soccer people.
Not at all.
I like the FIFA games; they're fun to play. But like when they like start coming out and talking about like the UEFA Cup, I'm like, that means nothing to me. Like, yeah. I would have recognized that thing in the lineup. I don't know what that is. You know, like, they're just like, this is a big deal. And I'm like, I'm sure it is. It's my, like, egotistical Americanism that doesn't get it. But I don't get it. So it's just kind of like, yep, cool, move on.
I need, you know what it tells me is that I need to get to a point in my life where I can travel more.
Yeah.
And understand why this kind of stuff's a big deal in the rest of the world.
Yep.
Because it's just not here.
Yep, totally fair. After that, this was a bit of newsiness from the EA conference. They talked about two things. It came out and talked about how over the past 5 or so years, there's been this big disruption in entertainment media via streaming and subscriptions. And so obviously thinking Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and on and on. And talking specifically about EA's plans for both streaming and subscription models. It's streaming they're working on. They didn't have anything to release yet or announce release dates, but they have a system in place that they're showing off at E3, trying to get people to buy into their streaming game service. And so it's a thing. It's coming. Like we talked about in Microsoft, they're doing it too. Sony already has the system up. We talked about Nintendo's experimenting with it with Resident Evil 7 in Japan. We might hear something about that tomorrow. Streaming games are coming. Whether or not they're going to be coming in a big way soon is a different question, but that ball's rolling. Like, we're going there.
It's rolling, but right now, it's what it is you can pay so much a month and have access to our entire catalog, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, it's not that yet. Nobody's doing that on a cloud-based service yet.
Right.
The EA feels like they're hinting towards that. PlayStation Now is older games, not brand new stuff, but lots of titles on it or whatever.
Yeah, like 600 or something.
It's crazy how many titles are on PlayStation Now. So they're officially doing that. Again, I don't think that's any big surprise, but we're skeptical about it. The other thing they talked about was the subscription thing, which also kind of everybody's doing. Microsoft talked about, Microsoft has the, was it games, games now? No, was it? I don't know. Whatever their thing is called. That is a subscription model that you pay $10 a month for, and you get to download the games. It's not a streaming service, which is nice. Sony, of course, has the subscription model that is the streaming service. EA already has in place a subscription model called Access Origin.
Origin Access. Which we're currently paying for.
Right. We buy into that subscription. So they announced, the newsy part of this is they have what they call Origin Access Premier, a step up tier of that. And so right now with Origin Access, you get access to somewhat recent EA games, not new releases, but within the past couple years. And so, like, right now Titanfall's on there, Battlefield 1's on there, so some good games have come out from EA recently, but not new releases. Origin Access Premier is apparently going to be new releases that you get as part of this subscription service. So if you, and this is on PC, this is not on consoles to my knowledge yet. I'm sure they're trying to do that, but Microsoft has their own service and Sony has their own service, and so that's a little bit trickier. But on PC, you can sign up for Origin Access Premier and have those EA titles on the launch date that you can download them without having to pay more money for them. It's the price point I saw, they didn't announce this during the conference, but it came out afterwards, is $99 a year. So a little less than $10 a month. What is that? $8.50 a month, whatever it is. So that means if you buy EA games, that if you were going to buy two full price EA games in the next year and instead you do this, you're going to save money and get access to everything else in their catalog, which is a pretty good deal.
It is a pretty good deal. And the discussion that we need to have right now is, you just said multiple people are doing this.
Yep.
So how, because I pay for Netflix, you pay for Netflix, I think you pay for Hulu.
Yep.
I think you pay for Sling.
Nope.
What's the other one that you pay for?
Well, we do Amazon. So right now we have Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. We get our TV through our live TV through Hulu now. We used to do Sling for live TV, but Hulu had more channels for the same price, and so we ended up on Hulu for our live TV.
And okay,
so
okay.
We're quote-unquote cord cutters, and we still pay significantly less, half the price of what cable was when we're paying for cable for all three of those, which is nice.
Right.
But yes, I currently have three subscriptions that are, what is that, $60 a month?
Yeah.
Because the Hulu one is expensive because it's the live TV.
Right.
Again, that's still way cheaper than our cable was before.
That's exactly half what I'm paying at the house.
Yeah.
And I know that because I pay that bill every month, and right, it drives me nutty!
But that's what I'm paying for television content, right? Movies, streaming, whatever. And Amazon, to be fair, I'm paying for that for free shipping more than anything else because we order Amazon just about every day at this point. It's the best thing ever. We don't use a video service there, but I'll include it here. So the question then is, how much are we willing to pay for similar access to gaming content in that same way each month? So if we do Microsoft's service, that's $10 a month. EA is another, we'll say $10 a month, even though it's a little cheaper than that, but just for to keep it easy, that's $20 a month right now. Let's say Sony has a non-streaming service like that, that they're going to add a PlayStation Plus, or PlayStation whatever, that's going to be $10 a month, that's up to $30 a month. Nintendo does one, that's $10 a month, that's up to $40 a month. The question for me is as much is, how much time do I have to play games to justify spending this money on them? Because, like, I'm only going to play one or two games deeply every month.
Right.
And so spending money across all these different platforms gets really tricky because I'm not going to be utilizing them on a regular basis.
Okay, think about this. If these really kick off and it starts to happen, GamePly is not going to be a thing anymore.
Correct.
As long as GamePly is a thing, this is a moot point because you get $20 a month and you get whatever you want from GamePly. And I just don't know what the number is.
Yeah.
I really, because like, it's about time, and we say this over and over and over again, but if we have time, and see, I don't really feel like the money's that big a deal, if you have the time. If you're playing games every day, like I know a lot of you guys are, and that's what you do. You come home from work, you spend 2 or 3 hours a night playing games. This makes total sense. You save a ton of money, and you're good. That's not where we are, unfortunately, for two guys that host a gaming podcast. That it feels really bad to say that, but that's the truth. So for us, it's like, where's the stopping point? And right now, for me personally, I have room in my life for one of these. Maybe.
Yeah.
One of these.
Yeah. I think that's fair. And then the question is, which one? You know? And I don't have a good answer for that. yeah, it's honestly like knowing we have a pretty good sense of what games are on the horizon. It's just going to be knowing which one I want to play, you know, like who has what coming out that I feel comfortable paying for their service, probably for a year, because most of these are going to be on a yearly subscription basis, not on a monthly basis.
This is a very interesting question, because Origin Access that we paid for was half of this. And then I did the research and found out that if you pay for it on an annual basis, it is half of that. And so if you pay for it on an annual basis and it gets cheaper, that gets easier for me to justify more services.
Sure.
Because right now we're paying $30 a year for Origin Access.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah. But not for new releases.
Right. But what I'm saying is, they say, here's what it is for a month, but if you pay for a year...
Right, but they've already told us it's $100 a year.
Okay.
So that's going to be the best price point, right? Like, they're not going to lead with, it's $100 a year if you pay month to month. They're going to tell you it's $100 a year if you pay for the whole year. So they're always going to sell it with what the best price point is.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that Origin didn't. And, like, I thought, you know, it was $5 a month or whatever it was. Started looking, and it's, you know,
sure,
half that for a year. And I told you at that point, I'm like, why wouldn't they lead with that? We didn't know the answer.
Sure.
And so if it is $100 a year, that's it. Then we're back to the original question. How many of these can you realistically do?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's one. I feel good with one. And then, like, if Sony has one, I'm using Sony here because we have PlayStation 4s. So we don't have Xbox Ones, and so Microsoft's game service doesn't appeal to me since I don't have their console. But if Sony has one, and I know, okay, in the next 12 months, I want to play whatever games that they're going to have on their service, then I might consider doing that at least for a year. It's really going to depend on what games they have coming. I need to be able to see down the pipeline and know. And so, like, EA announced that you'll be able to play Anthem day one with Origin Premier. That's a big deal. I'm pretty sure they announced Anthem. They announced some games. And so I know they announced Battlefield 5 and they announced Madden. I think they play Anthem. Either way.
I think they did. Fairly certain they did.
That's a big deal. Like, okay, Madden's not a game I would buy. Battlefield 5's not a game I would buy. Anthem's a game I might buy. Is it worth $100 to me to have all three of those games accessible the day they come out? Maybe. You know, like, it's a little
maybe.
Feeling. Now, here's my honest kind of other side of this take. I'm less likely to play a game that I'm getting through a pay subscription service than I am to play a game that
I pay
for
directly.
You know
what? That's the honest truth, because how many months have we had Origin Access? And I fired up here and there, but it's not like, ooh, I've got this. I've got all these games I got to play.
Yep.
That's an awful thing to say, but it's the truth.
Oh,
it's sitting there, I can fire it up whenever, and I know that.
There's a psychological thing to this, in that if I put down $60 on a game. Well, I bought God of War outright, right? Like, don't do that very often. You guys bought God of War outright for us. Thank you, Patreon. But that's still not something, even with Patreon money, that I do very often. But that was a game that I'm like, absolutely, I need to have this. I want to play this right now. I'm going to pay the money for it. And I'm playing it. Like, it's getting all of my gaming time right now, in part because I put the money directly for that game, whereas I have a ton of games in my Steam library, which I put the money directly towards those as well, or a lot of them at least.
But they're not going anywhere, and you know
it. Exactly. I have PlayStation Plus games, and I have Origin Access games that I'm not touching because they're there. They're in the back of my head, but I didn't put the money directly to that game. And putting the money directly to a game, even on Steam, like if I go and buy a game, especially if it's not on sale, I'm going to play that game right then because I'm invested in it in that moment. A subscription model takes that away, and that's a weird thing, but like psychologically, that's important to consider.
That's right. So. And it's going to get worse, I feel like, the more of these services you have.
Yep.
And I look at just I know we got to move. But a great example is I've been listening when I'm not oogling at your daughter. I've been listening to these GameSpot guys talking about all these games and what they're doing. And those are very clearly people that go to work and play games every day. It's what they get paid to do. If we were getting paid to do this, whole different ballgame.
Sure.
Right? Like, all of these totally make sense because we're getting paid to do this and this is what we do every day. For the average person, I don't know how much sense they make.
Yeah. It's a really interesting question. And trying to do the math of, like, ultimately, am I going to pay more money each year by doing a subscription model or by buying games piecemeal? I don't know the answer to that. Especially with Steam, whenever I buy so many games on sale, that brings that cost down quite
well,
a bit.
And that's the thing. That's where I don't feel guilty about Steam. Because even if you guys at Patreon send me 5 games a year, I know 98% of the time, you guys didn't pay full price. So if I don't get to it for 3 years, I don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's fair. So moving on, because we do have a lot of other stuff to cover. This topic's going to come back up. I just feel that we're going to have more of this coming forward. And so be prepared for us to talk about this more. It's going to be a theme of E3. But moving on for now, a couple of Star Wars things that happened in the EA conference. We know Respawn's working on a Star Wars game. And so they teased it. But they teased it by talking to the dev in the crowd. And he just talked about it super awkwardly. It has a name. It's the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. You'll play as a Jedi. It'll take place between episodes 3 and 4 and kind of the dark days of the Jedi. And that all sounds super cool. But it was just a dude telling us that without any, like, hype around it, and maybe that's shallow, but I, like, even if you would have just given me, like, a title screen and a lightsaber, I would have been a lot more excited about it than I am, like, the dude sitting in the audience trying to act, like, chill and casual, like this was an unexpected conversation. I just didn't like it.
Well, and the other thing is, like, I'm looking at dude, like, going, does this dude have a lanyard, or is he just some dude? Like, if somebody walks out on a stage, you know that dude's supposed to be there, and they're about to talk about something. They just took a wireless mic and went down the audience like, hey, look who's here. And it was the weirdest thing, because I'm like, what? Who's this guy?
If we were more savvy and like really watched the industry closer, like, again, we probably should, hosting a podcast, we would have probably said, hey, that's, I can't even tell you his name off the top of my head.
I don't know.
But we would have been like, hey, that's whoever from Respawn. But we weren't. We were like, hey, there's a dude in a hat and they're talking to him and he's talking about Star Wars. Oh, I guess he's important. You know, like, that was kind of the process of going through it. And like, oh, he's from Respawn. Oh, Respawn's working on, oh, this is weird. So, whatever. Then they also talked about some new Battlefront 2 content, including stuff from the Solo movie and stuff from the Clone Wars era, like General Grievous and Obi-Wan are going to be part of it. That's cool and all, but it's Battlefront. The one thing I will give them credit for that I really appreciated in this is the dev that came out to talk about it said, hey, we know we didn't have a perfect launch of this, and we know we screwed some stuff up, and we're really committed to making this game awesome for the community that's playing it. I thought that was cool, especially from EA that we've for years called the Evil Empire. Like, it's nice to see some humility on an E3 stage.
Well, I think they kind of have to be humble when it was that bad the way it started. But I agree. I'm glad the guy came out and said it.
Yeah, me too. And then after that, we got my two favorite parts of the EA press conference, which were both like indie dev kind of titles, which maybe says something about me, maybe says something about EA, who knows. But I'm excited about both of these. First of all was Unravel 2, which is officially out. They launched it during the press conference. Like, it came out on the day of the press conference, which is awesome. So you can go pick it up right now, and I'm psyched about that. It has co-op feature to it. There's two Yarnies now. I don't know, Yarny and Barney. I don't know what the other dude's name is. He's blue, and so Barney works, right? Yarny and Barney are going to go through the world together. So you can play it co-op, or you can play it single-player and control either one of the characters, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. But the first Unravel was just phenomenal, just a great platformer. So I'm happy to have more of that for sure.
I'm sorry, I just have a mental image of Yarny and Barney singing to a bunch of kids in a neighborhood somewhere. Like, it just, that's really funny.
Yeah,
that is not the name of the character. We really need to look it up. The name but of the that's really funny.
I appreciate that. It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a fun game. They also announced a new IP from another one of these small devs. They actually came out and talked about Hazelight Studios, which did A Way Out. And how big of a deal that was last year at E3. And so they said, hey, we're going to try to do that again. Uh-huh. And so this was from a studio called Joe May, I believe. It's based out of Germany, if I remember correctly. But it was the developer came out about that. First of all, I loved her because she was nervous and like started out like overwhelmed. And it was just very charming and endearing.
Right.
Of like, she was like, holy crap, this is a really big deal. Like, I'm on an E3 stage talking about my game.
And there's a crap ton of people watching.
There are a lot of people watching. It was cool. It was really fun to see her like react in that emotional way, in a very earnest way. So that was cool. The game is called Sea of Solitude, or SOS, they called it. It's about loneliness, which sounds super fun and cheerful to play. It's about how the quote that she had is, when humans get too lonely, they turn into monsters. And so apparently you play in the game as this young woman who is dealing with severe loneliness, and it manifests as a monster. And so it's this kind of horror thriller thing with water and like a sea monster, and I don't really get it, but it's pretty and it's intriguing, and I really want to see more of it.
You know what? I got like a Papers, Please vibe from it, in that not the sea monster and the water and the boat and all that.
Sure.
But just the whole, here's a look at the not so good parts of human existence kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You played Papers, Please, and you liked it, and it was cool, but it was very, yeah, very depressing.
And same thing with This War of Mine, yeah, that we both loved. That's just a hard game, you know? Like, it's a bummer. This is going to be a bummer game, but I think it's going to be a worthwhile play. Like,
that's right.
Maybe not fun, but good, you know? And I enjoy those experiences in their own way.
Here it is. It's art.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, it's not a happy fun time. You right. go into it and you know what you're getting into, but you do it because it's art.
Yeah. Quickly, I'm going to move through a couple other things so we have enough time to talk about the big stuff. They talked about Madden some and brought out this douchey little kid who's apparently the Madden champion or something. And just the starkness of the woman from Joe May Games coming out and talking about Sea of Solitude to little douchey kid that's like all about the money, whatever. I don't remember what he's got to get that money, whatever he said in there. Like, just went from like this incredibly charming person to this dude I just want to punch in the face.
And it was a kid that like had the option, and they treated this like it was this, you know, this really amazing thing that this kid had done. They said he had the option to go to his high school graduation or go to the tournament. And he chose the tournament to get the money. And I'm like, you know what? I like money. That's cool. But, like,
yeah,
to put it in perspective, we got a little kid in there, and if it comes between her or the money, both of us going to choose her all day long.
Sure.
And I like money.
Right.
But not that much.
Yeah. It was shallow and just didn't do it for me. Whatever. Good on him for being good at Madden. And
I looked at it and I'm like, dude, is that Johnny Manziel?
It was very Johnny Manziel. Pre-Johnny Manziel tried to turn it around. Still in the end. Yeah. Whatever. Then they showed a new game that they kind of teased without giving a name for a while. An RTS on mobile devices that they had professional shoutcaster come and commentate a match that just went on way too long and was whatever. It ends up it's a new Command & Conquer game. It's called Command & Conquer Rivals that will be out on mobile devices. I believe you can play a beta on Android devices right now. It will come out on Android and iPhone later in the year. So cool. Command & Conquer, yay.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they ended with Anthem. Did a big kind of panel discussion type thing, talking a lot about Anthem, which was fine, just not super exciting. And then they finally showed some gameplay, and the gameplay looks fun. It looks like Iron Man in a lot of ways because it's the javelins, which are these like mech suits that you're in, that you're flying around in. Lots of flying mechanics to it. Feels like it's going to be BioWare's Destiny. It's very much like what Destiny is, but BioWare's take on it.
You know what? And I'm sorry, we don't have time to stop here. But it's really depressing to me. Because I know it's going to be good, it's going to be a good game. But this is not what I want from BioWare.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just don't want it.
Yeah, which is maybe the same thing we're going to say about Bethesda here in just a second. Like, these companies that we love that do these titles that we adore are taking either these titles or their own resources on new IPs in directions that aren't necessarily what we do. Anthem's one of those. And maybe it's a lot of fun. Bungie did Destiny, and it's a lot of fun, yet I never got into it. You know, like, I tried and didn't get into the first one. I haven't tried the second one. Maybe it's fine. I don't feel like I have the time commitment for that. It's whatever. And I feel like I'm going to want to play Anthem, and I'm going to run into that same thing where I'm just like, it's not a game that I can turn on and turn off or pause for a while or whatever. And if I have to have that time commitment to sit down and play it, I'm just probably not going to play it.
Right.
Which is too bad. So, but the game is really pretty.
Yes, it
does
is.
Look really good.
So, yes, it does.
That being said, we'll jump into Bethesda, which showed a lot of stuff. Some new, some recycled. Biggest thing is we got a lot of Fallout 76 details. We'll talk about those momentarily. But they started with Rage 2, and they came out and said, hey, here's Rage 2. And then Andrew WK, of all people, came on stage and played a song, and it was the worst.
The most awkward thing I've ever seen in an E3 press conference, because it would have been fine if they'd have kept the camera on him and, hey, we're doing this thing, whatever. But they kept showing the audience, and the audience was literally looking at stage like, why are we here?
Yep.
Why are we here? Why are you doing this? Show us Fallout 76 already.
Yeah.
It was not good.
It was not good. And go by Patreon if you're not supporting us on Patreon yet. This is a great time of year to do it because there's a lot of content on there for you guys that are on the Patreon. We did a video. It was our quick impressions of Bethesda. And one of the things we said there is musical performances just aren't a good idea, like, ever. Like, there's just not one that I could look back on and go, oh, that was really cool. Like, it's just weird and awkward and bad, and just don't do it. Like, just don't do it. So, anyway, once we got through that super awkward 4 minutes of a song with Andrew WK jumping around and whatever, we got to Rage 2 and showed us a trailer and then some gameplay, and it actually looks like a lot of fun. Like, it looks really cool, and I'm like, why couldn't you give us 5 more minutes of gameplay on this? And I would have been jacked, you know? But they didn't. But Rage 2 looks cool.
It does, and I don't, like, I never got into Rage, but I'm hoping this turns that around.
I do too. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try it because it looks like a lot of fun. So, after that, we got some Elder Scrolls news in the card game. The Elder Scrolls Legends is coming to consoles. Woohoo! New stuff coming to the Elder Scrolls Online. Woohoo! Neither one of those things are things we really do, but that's okay.
I'm yawning right now. Right. That's about it.
That's completely fair. Then we get to something that was a theme in the Bethesda conference, which was game announcements that don't have any substance to them. And this is the, like, real hit or miss part of this conference to me, is that they had three, I can think of off the top of my head, big game announcements that had no substance. That just, hey, we're doing this. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, we figured you were, but the first one was Doom. It has a name. It's called Doom Eternal. It's a sequel to the remake of Doom, essentially, that they put out 3 years ago or whatever it was. And that
has
looks
it
great.
Been 3 years? Holy cow.
Yeah. I think at least right around there. Pretty close to 3 years. So that's been out for a little while, and it's great. We played a little bit of it, and everybody loves it. And so New Doom
is
awesome.
We need to play more.
We do. But they didn't really show us anything. We didn't get gameplay or any of that kind of stuff. They did talk about how it's got, like, twice as many demons. And, okay, cool, you know, like, whatever. But, yeah, didn't see it. And so that was cool announcement. Bummer we didn't see anything of it. They talked about Quake a little bit. By the way, they're going to be officially debuting the new Doom at QuakeCon, which happens right here in Dallas. And so it may be trip planning time again, and we can actually do some real coverage.
Oh, boy!
Be crazy. So we got some Quake details, whatever. I mean, Quake's cool. There's a big community around that. It's just not us. I played Quake back in the day, but I haven't played Quake in years. And so,
again, Quake's one of those things, and we say it over and over again. If we do this mostly full-time as a job, we're playing Quake.
Yeah.
And we're playing some of these other things that we're playing Anthem. We're playing all of that because this is what we're doing for a job. I currently have three jobs. You have your job. Well, you might have another one I don't know about.
Sure.
It's about time. And some of this stuff, like Quake, I really want to get into, but no time.
Yep, which is fair. That's where we are. By the way, though, if you want to play it, it's free to play this week, Quake Champions. And if you get in this week, apparently you get to keep it for free. I don't really understand how all this free to play works, but whatever. There it is. Go play Quake for free if you've got time to play Quake. That'd be great. Talked about Prey some. Again, not our thing.
It's really, really pretty. I really want to get into it. But
they have some new modes, some multiplayer modes. One where it's like a hide and seek kind of thing, where one person is like a person, and the other, I think, is five other people are mimics, which are the like monsters in Prey that can like turn into things that can like shape shift. That actually sounds pretty compelling, like a fun game mode or whatever. But yeah, it's not a game I'm going to get to anytime soon. After that, we got new Wolfenstein news. Wolfenstein Youngblood, which it seems like standalone DLC to Wolfenstein 2 that's focused on BJ's twin daughters in the 1980s.
Yep.
You're following along. BJ's twin daughters in the 1980s will be co-op, which is cool. We'll also have a VR component to it, or VR version, not the whole game in VR. It's like some standalone VR thing that's parallel to it. But still, Bethesda's been maybe the one big developer that's put VR resources into their big titles. We have Skyrim VR. We have Fallout 4 VR. Now we're going to have Prey VR, and we're going to have some Wolfenstein VR content. So they're still committed to doing VR stuff from Bethesda, which I think is good for the VR kind of culture to continue. It needs some big developers behind it, and Bethesda's been one of those so far.
It's crazy to me that we are those people. Thank you, Duff.
Yeah.
Because we have that. I have another headset at my house. I'm waiting on sensors. But we both now have a headset apiece, which I would have never thought 2 years ago that would have been a thing.
Yep.
But it is.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And Duff's the best, and that's why you're going to hear the production right at the end of the show, that the show is brought to you by Duff.
Because it is, and it will be for the rest of time.
And we've got a Labo sitting in the back of the room that we're going to have to put together at some point in the next couple of days to get some content with as well. Thanks to Duff. So, all that being said, we then got into the big thing, which is Fallout 76, or at least we thought we were going to get into Fallout 76. Before that, they teased a new Skyrim, and we said we're going to get a new Skyrim, and this is a real thing. We actually were like, is this real? It is. They showed this amazing skit, whatever, with Keegan-Michael Key, who's hilarious, playing Skyrim on, wait for it, his Alexa.
Yeah!
And it was great. It was fantastic. And so you had a prediction that Alexa was going to show up at E3. I think you said during Microsoft, who cares? You got it, right? Like, it showed up in Bethesda. There's a legit video game you could actually go get. It's called Skyrim Very Special Edition. And it's like you're just talking to Alexa. Like, Alexa's like, all right, there's a mountain. And you're like, cool, climb the mountain. And then, oh, there's a dragon. All right, let's fight the dragon. Whatever. It was great. It was them poking fun at themselves, which I appreciate in a really kind of charming way, and I thought it was good.
Well, It made me laugh out loud when they said, and it's now available on your smart fridge. Like, seriously. Yes. Now available on your smart fridge.
Amazing. So, after that, we officially got Fallout 76. Reinforce all the things we already know. Four times the size of Fallout 4. Going to be in West Virginia. Centers around Vault 76. Around the year 2776. The tercentenary of the United States, or the tricentennial of the United States, 300th anniversary. That's the kind of background for this game. But then they gave us the news that we were waiting for that we didn't get in the Microsoft press conference, confirming that it is an online multiplayer survival-based title that's still Fallout. And so Todd Howard talked about the game, said it's still a single-player experience if you want it to be, but it's also this online survival thing that you're going to run into other people in the game that are actually other people. What all of the interactions between that still isn't completely clear, but to give him credit, he talked about a lot of details on it. Went into
he was
depth,
on stage for like a half hour.
Yeah, and was compelling. He does a really good job.
Like, we talk about all these other people and how contrived they are, and they're trying to be cool and they're trying to be funny. He just stood up there and did his thing.
And it's fantastic.
Like, you can listen, it's like a TED Talk. You can listen to him talk for an hour.
Yeah. And some people have that and some people don't. Some people need the script. He doesn't. He can go up there and just talk through it in a really approachable way, which you're absolutely right. I could have just watched a whole press conference of him just talking about games and then showing some video. And I would have loved that. Much better than Andrew WK. Much better. Like, yes. Do that in the future. So a couple other things we know about it. It's not going to be server-based. There are dedicated servers for this, but you don't log into a server. You just play the game, and you're going to run into people. And there's going to be, how he explained it, is there's dozens of people on your server that you can run into in the game, not hundreds, not thousands. It's not going to be oversaturated.
And I love the way he said that. It's the wasteland. Like, yeah. There's not thousands of people. You're going to have to go a while before you run into somebody.
Which is really nice. That makes it feel a lot more Fallout and not just this kind of plethora of people running around everywhere. And so I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I'm a little worried that it's not going to be all that much fun.
Well, okay. Or it may be a blast. Here's the thing. We talked about Anthem and how it looks cool and we probably need to play it. Fallout 76 is like, it's the 2018 version of 2019. It comes out in November, so it'll be 2018.
Yes.
It's the 2018 version, potentially, for us of World of Warcraft. Because you and I will both get into this. We'll both spend time playing it together. Because we both love Fallout.
Yes.
And unlike Anthem and unlike some of the... unlike The Division, it's guaranteed we're going to play this.
Yes.
Like, no question, no discussion. It will get our time. It will get... Like, hey, Duff, if you saw this... You want to play games with us? This is the game.
Yeah.
Like, for months, we will play this.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Yep. Absolutely.
Unless it's bad, and they'll still get
we'll
a couple
still play
months
it.
Out of it.
Yeah, then we'll go, okay, we're done with this and moving on with our lives. But we'll play it some, for sure, because it is Fallout, and this is a franchise that we're fanboys for, and so we're going to try it. We may hate it. We're definitely going to try it. They did show off some other stuff. There's nukes in the game.
One thing I forgot. I don't know. Is there a subscription fee?
No.
Okay.
Surely not. Because there's not for Anthem or for Destiny or anything like that. Surely not.
You don't think?
98% sure there's not.
All right. Just checking. Yeah.
Could it possibly be? Could it be?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surely not. And then they'll do it, and I'll be like, no, that's dumb. I'm not playing it if there is.
No.
That's a deal breaker, and
no.
I think that is for enough people. That's just no chance. So, and then I'll be wrong. So we'll see what happens there. There are nukes. It is coming in November. That's kind of big news. Not expecting that. thought this was next year at the earliest, and then it dropped November on us. And so this game's coming. They did the same thing with Fallout 4, to be fair, that they just kind of dropped in our laps in E3 and said, hey, it's coming out later this year. So is this, and so good on them. They also invite people to beta test it, which they're calling the beta test, the break it early test application, which I really appreciate. It's good humor. So if you want a beta test Fallout 76,
which we do, we were both looking for that last night. It's not available yet.
Yep. All right, and then a couple other announcements from Bethesda to finish up their conference. Getting back to the Elder Scrolls, another Elder Scrolls announcement. So we already had the card game, the online game. They announced a new game that's going to be on all devices. It's called Elder Scrolls Blades. That is PC, console, phone, VR, like everything. They're putting it everywhere. It looks like a very basic Elder Scrolls. Like, it's not like it's procedural dungeons kind of thing. It's going to be like an endless dungeon mode or whatever. Like, it's not going to be big story heavy Elder Scrolls thing, but could be a little fun, especially in a VR
mode.
You're
going to play it.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's free. That's something they announced. And so if you give me a free Elder Scrolls game that runs on my phone, I'm going to play it. I may not like fall in love with the game, but I'm going to play it. No doubt about it. And if it's fun enough that I want to like transfer between like my phone to my computer to my Switch to, you know, whatever, that would be cool too. Like, maybe it's fun enough to hook me or has some interesting game mode. So there was that. And then they gave us two substantial announcements that they had no content for, that just had no details for it. One was a new IP, which we haven't seen a lot of new IP stuff from Bethesda in a long, long time. It's called Starfield, and it's something about space.
And you know what I thought?
Huh.
This might actually be like a Mass Effect-y kind of a thing, or a Star Wars kind of a thing. And that's what's getting... I'm really excited about that. Because if we have something like that, the kind of an RPG kind of a thing, because let's be honest, that's what they do.
Yep.
And it's in space. I'm all about that.
Yeah, it has the potential to be great because we love Fallout. We love Skyrim. If they do something, because Bethesda does two things, right? They do Fallout, Skyrim kind of stuff, and they do Doom, Prey, Rage kind of stuff. And
right,
like Rage may be somewhere, maybe a little more, but I don't know. But they have like the shooter thing, and they have the kind of action RPG thing. I would much rather see this be in that action RPG world.
I'd be really excited if it was like a System Shock kind of a thing.
Yeah, that could be super cool. So, but we don't know anything about it. So this is pure speculation, which is, you know, on their part, what they want us to do is talk about how awesome it could be, but we don't know. And in the same thing, at least we know this one because we know the IP, they officially announced The Elder Scrolls 6 with this big sweeping panorama of a landscape, mountains and forests and all that kind of stuff, but nothing else, no details on it, no nothing, release date, world that takes place in, or where it takes place.
I love the fact that they showed this and everybody in the audience went, "Woo!" And I'm like, you guys totally knew that was coming. Yeah. Relax.
We know that they're going to make The Elder Scrolls 6, and so now they've confirmed it, like, they didn't bring anything. And so that was a bummer. Like, give me slightly more than that, you know? Like, just telling us you're working on it was cool. And like you said, people in the audience freaked out. And at the end of the day, it was a bit of a downer for me. And so the highlight of the Bethesda conference was Todd Howard talking about Fallout 76. Even if I don't know that I'm going to love the game, I thought it was good of him to explain it well. I thought that the kind of deep dive into that was good. I appreciate they're announcing new games, but if you don't give me anything about it, it's hard to get super pumped. And so,
do you know what would be fun for me?
Huh.
I want, and I say this because there are all these cruises happening. You know, you can go on a cruise with your favorite band, or you know, you got cruise with favorite TV personalities. I would love to have a cruise with Todd Howard, Will Wright, Warren Spector, and I had a fourth one in there, but just all of those guys.
Yeah.
You're on a boat for a week talking about video games.
It would be cool.
I'm all about that. Can we do that?
That would be a lot of fun.
I mean, those...
geekiest cruise ever, but yeah. Yes.
And those are four guys that crap I can listen to all day long.
Yep. Agreed. And there's a bunch of people we could add to that as well.
But yeah, I'm with you there. All right, really quickly wrapping up. We just about an hour ago finished up, a couple hours ago, because it was quick. The Square Enix quote unquote press conference. They're showing some trailers and calling it an E3 event. It was terrible.
And we have like 12 minutes until the next press conference. The reason we're sliding this in here was that it was so bad.
So bad.
It's horrible. And so we're going to tell you it was horrible. And I'm going to tell you there was two major things that came out of it. One was Tomb Raider, which they started with. The GameSpot guys didn't seem that impressed with it. They said they played demo and it was like, eh. But I like the stealthy Tomb Raider.
I do too. I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that way. I haven't played Tomb Raider in years. I know the most recent kind of reiteration, what we're in now, this new Tomb Raider thing is supposed to be really good. The last game was really good. I haven't played it. This is what I want to play. Like, yeah. Just watch it again.
I'm all about, and that's part of the reason, you know, the guys make fun of me for playing Mankind Divided. The reason I'm still playing it, the reason I'm taking my time, is because there's an 8 zillion different ways to do something, and you don't have to engage straight out and get in firefights and die, even though I still die a lot. Tomb Raider, this new Tomb Raider is all about stealth. And as I'm watching that, I'm looking at you going, I can play that. Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah. It's coming in September. Looks really good. And so that's one highlight of what they had. I think maybe the only highlight of what they had.
Well, we need to talk about the Life is Strange, Captain Spirit thing.
Yeah, the awesome adventures of Captain Spirit, which showed up briefly in the Microsoft press conference. This is a free-to-play. Coming out on June 26th, I believe, game from that happens in the Life is Strange universe from Don't Nod, that's supposed to give you some hints and some details, some of the secrets behind Life is Strange 2, but they very much specifically said not a sequel to Life is Strange. Ties into that world, but not that storyline, not that town, whatever, different place. It looks really good.
It looks really good.
It's a kid being a superhero.
It's going to be free, and that means it's guaranteed Patreon content for you guys.
Absolutely,
so.
Which is great. They showed a bunch of other games and a couple of announcements, one called Babylon's Fall. Didn't really see any details on it. A little bit of gameplay is Knights, and I don't know what's going on there. Another one that's called The Quiet Man that was... I hated it. I just hated it. I just can't get over the fact of how much I hated this thing, and I don't know why. But they started out showing this with live action video of like this dude in an alley, and there's these other guys, and it turns out that this dude is deaf, and then the other guys are like coming to fight him because why not? Whatever. It's in an alley. It's dark. That's what you do apparently. And then like it pans down and pans back up, and it's now like CG, and it doesn't look good. In CG, especially after you just gave me live action and like you're just making that comparison, and I don't know what the game is, and then they tell us they're going to give us more details apparently at Gamescom, and it didn't make me excited about it, that's for sure.
Somebody go to Gamescom and tell us that was good, or get us tickets and flights to Gamescom, because tickets I'd like to do Gamescom. Gamescom's one of those I really like to do, so
yeah. Agreed. But we'll go talk about how terrible this game is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this was the kicker to me. This is the Square Enix press thing in a nutshell. Kingdom Hearts 3 is probably the biggest thing they have. Big deal. People are really excited about that. Fan base is huge and rabid and so excited about this game because it's been 13 years since the last game or whatever, last real game. And they have this kind of stage to show off this massive game, and everybody's excited about it. And they showed the exact same content they showed in the Microsoft press conference. Exact same thing, and then, like, title screen rolled. Like, it was over. Like, they were like, thanks for joining us. No new content, no gameplay, no discussions about the game. I'm sure we'll get stage demos of Kingdom Hearts 3 over the next couple of days. I'm excited about that. But when you like put on a schedule that you have a press event and you have this game that everybody's looking forward to, and all you can bring is the trailer that you showed in somebody else's press conference the day before, like I just can't get over that. Like, what was the purpose of this press conference?
That like, was the ultimate mail-in. Like, yeah, here it is. We don't really care. Yeah,
it was bad. It was bad. It was bad.
really bad.
That's where we're ending it. It was bad.
Well, I get sucked.
We're about to go watch Yubi, and hopefully Yubi will be much better.
I don't have much faith. I'm really kind of worried about
it. Man, it's Beyond Good and Evil. Like, that's, I'm kind of, my stomach's a little bit in knots about Beyond Good and Evil, too. I don't know what we're going to get from it.
Yeah.
I'm excited/scared.
Like, I'm really hoping that we have time to do that show, like, shortly after it's over, because, you know, we're doing these quick hit things on the video. I really want to watch it and then get that one out of the way. I know it's kind of not what we probably had planned, but I'm like you. I'm really stupid nervous about that.
I don't know if we're gonna have time for that because the PC show that we both want to see is right after that. But I hope we are able to get in here and do quick reactions at least right after Yubi.
So
all that being said, we need a wrap so we can go watch Yubi.
All right, so you know where everything is. Go to Patreon, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, where everything is there. We got links, we got all kinds of cool stuff. You can email us, you can hit the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
For right now, we're going to go watch another press conference. We will be back. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on Gaming Uncensored, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.